You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's crucial league match at Tamworth from Saturday afternoon.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. And you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly we'll be hearing how FC United got on in their Saturday League encounter against Tamworth, and later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team got on in their league match with Crewe. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with cup news, as the Manchester FA have now confirmed details for this season's final of the Premier Cup. The match between FC United and MPL side Trafford will take place at Ewan Fields, the home of Hyde United, on Tuesday the 24th of April with a 7:45pm kickoff. Tickets will be provided to both clubs ahead of their home fixtures this coming Saturday and will be priced at £8 adults, £4 concessions, £2 under 16s. And in other fixture news, last Monday's rained off match between FC United and York City now has a rearranged date. This league encounter at Broadhurst will take place on Tuesday the 17th of April with a 7:45pm kickoff. Elsewhere, and a reminder that the club AGM will be taking place this coming Thursday the 12th of April at Broadhurst Park. Registration opens at 6:30pm for a 7pm start, and you must be a club member to attend and vote. And finally, the SMRE bar will be open for one last hurrah before redevelopment this Saturday as FC United host Darlington. Over the weekend, Ben caught up with club board member Lawrence Gill to find out more.
So, Loz, thanks for joining us. An update, please, on the St Mary's Road end, because last week it was meant to be its last game against York, and that game got postponed. So where are we up to now?
We are very close. It's just that we've got to get a contract finalised now, which we're hoping will happen very, very shortly. We took the decision to keep the SMRE bar open for Darlington. It seems to have to, you know, it's an opportunity to get some more money in. But we're very close now. There will be a bit of an update on Thursday to everybody. But we actually had a steering committee meeting yesterday for the SMRE. All the people on it, you know, people around the club that people trust, like John Bentley, Pete Shaw, Dave Payne. And what we are going to do is, I'm taking the lead for the board and I'll be doing the comms, so we'll be keeping members informed on a regular basis. But sadly I can't give a date when they're going to actually start doing stuff, but it's very soon now. We've had the first lot of money for Power to Change, so we've been able to get that money and pay FWP, who are doing all the sort of architecture type work for us. I've got a very good relationship with them, and they're the ones that are finalising the deal with the contractors.
And obviously, you can't tell us much, I appreciate that, but what about time frame for actual completion once work starts? Because are we looking at a long build under here, or can it be something that could be turned around quite quickly?
It's scheduled for a 10-week build. So depending when we start, who knows, it might be ready for the winter third game, you know. That'd be a nice way to open it, wouldn't it? But I think the intention is we will do something different to christen our new bar.
And finally then, Loz, obviously, you know, you're going to make an announcement on Thursday, hopefully, on the comms side of things. Is there any assistance that maybe supporters can give at this stage, or is it all in hand with the architects and the steering group?
Well, the intention has always been to get supporters and members involved. That'll be towards the back end of the project when we're talking about decoration. Obviously, the contractors provide all the techie guys, the bricklayers and things like that. But the plan will be to get members involved in the decoration of the bar.
FC United board member Lawrence Gill there. And the last match for the St Mary's Road End Bar in its present guise will take place this coming Saturday as FC United host Darlington at Broadhurst Park. But before that game, the Reds travelled south this past weekend to take on fellow relegation candidates Tamworth. On FCUM Radio's Friday Night Shindig, Ben caught up with player-manager Tom Greaves to hear how the squad was shaping up going into this crucial survival six-pointer.
A big thank you, Tom, for joining us. And how's this week been?
It's been a good week, yeah. We had a good chat about the result against Leamington. Obviously, it was a disappointing result. I didn't think it was a poor performance in such. I just thought we didn't get the rub of the green in the final third. I thought we kept the ball well. We created some good chances. It just wasn't dropping for us, and we've got to learn from that. So we've had two good training sessions. We've given a couple of lads that have played a lot of minutes nights off, and we're preparing well as we can.
It is. I'm sorry to keep asking you the same questions week after week, but away form, yep. Tom. it's a barrier that we need to get over. And you said, I think after Leamington, that it just takes one result and then the whole thing will fall into line. Going to Tamworth, it's another 3G pitch. What's your take on that side of things when it comes to going to a place like Tamworth and their pitch?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, having a 3G pitch can sometimes give you a home advantage, but we train on it week in, week out, so we're not strangers to it. We've got some players that will suit that pitch down to the ground, so we're not worried in that respect. We've spoke about it a lot, myself, Tom and Jack, and trying to get our heads around it. Tomorrow we're trying to set off a little bit later to try to give the lads a little bit more time in bed. We've got some food prepped for them, so we know exactly what kind of food they're eating and eating at the right time. So we're trying, we're working on it. It's been very, very disappointing away from home. I was literally just saying to somebody, I've not experienced the coach journey where we've won away from home as a manager, and it's disappointing because you turn a couple of them draws into wins and a couple of them loses into points, and you're looking at the other end of the table. So it's there, the fine margins that we've got to get right. So hopefully, maybe them little changes will help us going into tomorrow. We'll just have to see. It's a massive game for us, and the lads know exactly what's at stake. It's a six-pointer. If ever there were a six-pointer. So we're excited about it, and hopefully we can break this duck and we can go on the table and look a little bit healthier tomorrow night.
I mean, one question I was going to ask you as well, because obviously you're new to this when it comes to managing a squad and that kind of thing. How difficult is it to view a league table? I mean, do you even look at the league table and go for the ins and outs of what each result means, or do you think it's just best just to put that to one side? And I don't mean to use a Kenny Dalglishism, but just to use each game as it comes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you've got to try just concentrate on yourself, especially at this time of season. But it's very difficult not to look at the tables, and you look at results like last night, Telford picking up a win, and obviously sometimes the results don't go for you, but yeah, I mean, you try not to. You take every game like you're playing against top of the league, but you do see the table, and teams are in and around you for a reason. They're not picking up points when they need to be, so it's going to be a proper relegation scrap tomorrow, I'm afraid. Hopefully, we'll be coming out on top of it.
Well, at least the pitch will be in a better state than it was at Leamington. Anyway, that's
yeah,
that's
definitely. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, the pitch over the last few months have not been great. It's been a bog, but hopefully now, especially on a pitch like that, that'll suit our ball players down to the ground.
And obviously, we spoke after Leamington, and we were talking about that York match that was going to be played on Monday. That obviously went out the window with the weather. What does that mean for yourself and preparation? Because obviously, you know, you had that coach journey back. You don't get to see the players, and then all of a sudden, you can see them again on Tuesday without having to play a team chasing a promotion spot. So, was that a mixed blessing? Do you feel that postponement for Monday?
Probably, to be honest, we had a couple of little knocks that might not have recovered in time for that game. So, yeah, probably for us. But then you look at York and the big lad up front is parking, is it?
Yeah, why
they're lined up. So I think I'm getting the right guy. I think he was out for that game, so he might be back when the players now. So swings and roundabouts, it was technically good for us. We've had a couple of knocks that have now recovered, which will be fit for tomorrow. The likes of Linney and Jamal. I had a little knock on my heel, which would have probably kept me out from at least starting on Monday. So Yeah, it's worked well for us, but it's probably worked well for them as well.
And how rude of me! Steve Irwin obviously was missing on Saturday. Have we got any nice news?
Yeah, he will be. He'll be there available for tomorrow. I don't know how much sleep he's had in the last week, but he'll be available for selection.
A big congratulations to the Irwins, anyway.
And
another player who came on Saturday, we discussed it in the post-match interview, was Tatum, he offered a bit of spark in the attack, not to preempt your team selection, but he must have put himself in a position where he's in contention for place in the squad tomorrow.
Yeah, he's a good lad, he's Sam, and he's come back with a superb attitude. Yeah, he's in contention tomorrow. This pitch will suit him down to the ground. He's a quick lad, he's pacey. And he was superb in training on Thursday night when we were doing some crossing and finishing and things like that. So, yeah, he's put himself right back in the frame, yeah.
And finally, any injuries, any suspensions going into tomorrow's crucial six-pointer?
Danny Rackey, I believe, is suspended for tomorrow. Apart from that, we've just got people returning and no fresh injuries.
Tom Greaves there from FC Radio's Friday Night Shindig. And the match itself now, and with just 2 points separating the two sides before kickoff, it was unsurprising that the game was a closely fought encounter. But with FC United going down to 10 men, with man of the match Matty Hughes receiving a second yellow card on the 83rd minute, it's now time to hand over to the FC Live team for the closing moments.
There's a ball hit long into the penalty area. Can Greaves got the end of it? Well, it's flicked away, and Andy Burns will keep it in play, but picked up by Hyam flicks the ball forward. Linfield, touch and turn is lovely. Can he get a shot away? Yes, he can. First shot from FC United.
I shoot!
The goal!
Wow. Goalkeeping howler has gifted Linfield a goal.
Absolute howler, and I can't believe that, because the goalkeeper's had nothing to do all afternoon, and Jack Stevens, I mean, the ball was travelling with a bit of pace. And it was a lovely turn and first touch from FC United of Manchester's Linfield. But Bayek,
there might have been a bit of swerve on the shot. But
the keeper absolutely made a howler. The FC supporters go mad behind the goal. And whoever's got on crutches has just lost one. And now, what do we do? Do we change the substitution? Do we keep it? Do we make the substitution? Do we keep it?
It depends if it's for an injury or whether it's tactical. If it's for an injury, you won't. It'll probably happen, but if it's tactical, you'd say that goes out the window.
Well, Jack Stevens can't believe he's let that in. It was an absolute woeful bit of goalkeeping, in fairness. It was poor. You've got to feel sorry for a goalkeeper. They make one mistake and that's it. Game over for them a lot of the time. But
beware, this is the ground for the 1-1 draw.
It is indeed.
So it's not over yet.
Well, listen, we've got 5 minutes to go. We're all happy with a 1-1 draw, if needs be. There's been another substitution. The number four has gone off there. Joe Kettle, he's kicking his own dugout there. And now this should be an opportunity. Just take your time. Good play there by Tatum. A free kick and conceded. Well played, FC United of Manchester. And look at that. You can see Stevie Irwin absolutely screaming instruction to McCarthy. He said, get into this game. Start working. Win the ball.
Would you guess it was 4 minutes? If you had to guess.
Yeah, I would have thought 4 minutes would have been.
We're
probably
back nearly
ample.
Three.
Yeah, we're into the 48th minute. 30 seconds into the 48th minute. And FC's goalkeeper is the man to set a free kick. He's well out of his own area, so has to get some distance and get back into that area quickly. McCarthy now. Picked up by Linfield, and Linfield, that's the right kind of ball. If it stays in, well played, Linfield.
That's game management.
Is it right? Referee's
just had a look at his watch.
Right in the corner, but he's allowing the likes of Andy Burns to maybe throw the ball 30 yards further than it should have been. Hesitancy there from FC again on the edge of the area. They have to defend one last time, perhaps. Can Senior win the header? He can. Controlled header to Senior to Kieran Glynn. And he's the man that you want on the ball now, because Glynn will go past one, go past two. He holds the ball brilliantly. Plays it outside to Garner. Garner holds it as well. That's what FC now need to do now. Keep ball. It's Linfield. Linfield plays it out wide right hand side for McCarthy. McCarthy holds it. Cuts inside. Can't afford to lose it. Doesn't lose it. Plays it to FC United's Irwin. Lovely ball from Irwin to Linfield. Linfield and McCarthy there. Does really well, McCarthy. Into the penalty area goes. Can he make it two? but he gets another opportunity. It should be two for FC United of Manchester. It is two for FC United of Manchester, and it was Linford. It wasn't Linford, it was Garner. Well, it was a little bit of battling quality from McCarthy, and the ball falls kindly, and again on a grass pitch, that's never going to be a goal, is it? Because it bounces up and bounces up. But
that is a killer blow.
That is the killer blow. That is 3 points to FC United of Manchester. That might be the breath.
That's 47 points.
47
in the bag.
Yeah, and that's also the opportunity, really, from an FC perspective, that we can go into the game next week knowing that our destiny is in our own hands, and that really is a killer blow to Tamworth here. They're not going to come back from this. The supporters en masse leaving the ground, and FC United and Manchester, the determination, and it all started with Kieran Glynn, a good header from Senior on the right hand side in his own half. He headed into Glynn. Glynn did the best thing he could do, hold on to the ball, go past two or three players, play it out wide right to Linfield. Linfield held the ball, played a 1-2 with
McCarthy
bustled into the penalty area, it bounced off him, ricocheted off him, it looked like it could have been a penalty, and then it just fell nicely to Garner, and Garner put it in the net, and that really is 3 points to FC United of Manchester, and really, 3 vital points. We were happy with a point here. FC down to 10 men, very unlucky, because FC United's man of the match up to that point had been,
still is
man of the match, really. I thought Matty Hughes has been absolutely superb. In defence, he was on a yellow card early, so was Fagbola as well. They both got a yellow card at the same time. As the throw is taken, the referee hasn't got his mouth to the whistle at all yet. There's still time in this game to go. The 3 points that secure maybe FC season and put Tamworth right deep in the mire. A team really in the first half were better than FC United. The game in fact was abject for most of it, but that second half performance from FC, they came out with a bit of spite, bit of fight, bit of spirit, and a goalkeeping howler really for the first, and FC's persistence for the second. But it was a game, as I say, we didn't really care how the result was gotten this afternoon, Paul. It was all about the result, and we're going back to Manchester on the team bus, a happy bunch of players.
It was all about, as you said, it's all about the result today. It's not about how you get the points, it's getting the points. What that's done now is it's extended the gap between us and other clubs around us. We were hearing the results, the scorelines earlier on, that were all very positive. And this could be a very pivotal day in FC's season if the gap has opened wider between us and the rest.
It certainly will, and it was, as I say, we know that the team at the moment aren't playing great football. There's a lot of quality in patches, but not really as a unit, and that's reflected in so many games this season, especially away from home. But all you can do is play with who you've got. You've got to work, and if your team put in 100% and work, sometimes you can get a little bit of luck, and we got that little bit of luck.
I think luckily today we found opponents who were wasteful, anxious and basically poor, and it's unfortunate to say that we probably matched them in poverty of play for a long period. And the first goal, we thought at half time one goal might actually win it, and it was close to that. You could argue that our opening goal was certainly blessed with fortune in terms of a goalkeeping howler, but the good thing I thought was in the closing minutes, where we had to see out the game, we were smarter than we had been before, and we finished on the front foot, and that led to a second goal, which absolutely killed it.
Well, nice to see Hughes. He's been allowed out of the dressing room to celebrate with the players. He's running the length of the pitch. By the time he gets there, the players are all walking back. But
I still think Matty Hughes was our best player on the day.
I think you're right. I think
even
he was,
despite a red card,
he was. I thought he did everything. I mean, as I say, he's improved, and I've got to say he was superb this afternoon. And you know, the fact that the players after he's gone off have managed to get the result, you know, he'll be relieved there, because as I say, the second one, yeah, yellow card, he's deliberately handballed it, but the first one was very disappointing. The referee really didn't show any quality in his performance from that. But at the same token, FC United now have gone on and they have done themselves a big mighty favour by getting all 3 points here,
and full marks to the visitors today. We've actually scored twice with 10 men.
Well, it's
when the feeling of consolidation might have come in at 0-0, we've actually gone on and won the game, having lost the player.
Well, exactly, yes. And as I say, I think the first goal is very fortunate. The ball is held well by Linfield. He does a nice turn. He can strike the ball. We know, and we see from distance he's thinking of having a shot. And we went. You can hear in the commentary it was like, "Oh, a shot from Linfield, saved by oh." Because
it was a shot for nothing, wasn't it? Because if it worked the goalkeeper, at least it was something.
Was that the first shot on target we had as well, Paul? I think it probably was at that moment.
And I think it was also a wise decision and a brave decision in some ways to bring off Scott Kay.
I think Tatum made an impact when he came on.
The pace of the game from FC, we impacted it with more pace, a little bit more width, and I think it was the right decision. I've got to say, Kieran Glynn in the second half I thought was magnificent. I think he worked really, really well. When he had the ball, he got FC free kicks when they needed them. He also ran past two or three players, put decent balls in. And I say on a grass pitch, to a degree, those balls would have been an inch perfect. On here, you've got to be even more precise with your passing. But I thought he had a very, very good second half. I thought he was ineffectual until the second half, because that first half when he came on after the injury to Crawford was... with all the players in that first half, really, with the exception of the likes of Hughes, was magnificent. And as I say, but we don't care. I mean, we said, you know, we would like to see pretty football. We would like to see enjoyable football and entertaining football. And we'd also like to be able to commentate on a game where, really, you know, you're watching quality. And unfortunately, we weren't watching quality. But
it's all about the points.
It's all about the points
at this
stage of the season. And I say, Stevie Irwin, I mean, it's his first game back.
Irwin grafted hard.
He did drive it. And that's what I look at the players that in a team for FC, for me, I like the pace that they want to play the game at, the way they drive it and the way they work. And he epitomises that, you know. And I thought he was quite magnificent in the work rate. Not necessarily with the distribution of the ball, anything like that, but his work rate and his closing down the space, I thought was superb. I thought Tatum did well when he came on. I thought the introduction of Tatum as well, which was very noticeable for me, it gave Luke Hyam a lot more confidence.
Well, all of a sudden he had somebody to work with down the channel, didn't he?
He did, but they looked more comfortable, they looked more compact. What you saw in the first half from Hyam, every ball he got was, well, very Hyam in the air. It was just flying over at the top, wasn't it? But saying that, second half, I thought that was much, much better. We have to cut out, you know, certain things and elements in our game.
Well, should we talk about the bookings firstly?
Yeah.
Because there was three important players who had a booking over them for parts of that game. Kay, Hughes and Fagbola. The Fagbola booking probably was a booking. It was a bit of a very late challenge on the halfway line.
It could be a bit of a very late. It was either a very late challenge or it wasn't, Ben.
The Hughes.
No. It was either.
It was late. It was late. It was clumsy. It was a clumsy challenge.
It was a 3G pitch challenge. You know, it was awkward because it looked like it was going one way, and the ball sometimes does other things. And yeah, he took the player, and it was a booking, perhaps, yeah.
I think that both of Matty Hughes's yellow cards may not be been given on another day.
Well, this is it. The first one is, it's not a booking. It's the referee has given Matty Hughes bookings based on the advice of Tamworth players, and that's the most disappointing thing.
Well, the referee's got to make a decision. The first booking, he's based it upon... I mean, if it's in his report, it's ungentlemanly conduct, and that's what it would have to be, ungentlemanly conduct. It can't be anything else. It can't be for violent conduct or anything other than ungentlemanly conduct. Then, in his eyes, have you seen that? But you're right, because as soon as Hughes kicks the ball, as the referee's just blown his whistle, the ball's been kicked...
He's got his hand up straight away.
I said, oh... Sorry, because it's hit the player. Now, a ball travelling at what, 7 miles an hour? I mean, if that actually can cause so much pain.
But you've got five players in red shirts travelling a long way to make their opinions known in the whole thing, and it's poor. It's poor, and we're talking a couple of players putting their hands. Look, both hands.
Look,
physical violence. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, look at me. I'm not scared of people. But it's physical violence.
You're petrified. You can't even look at yourself.
The viewer knows what's that like. But it, you know, there's nothing. There's no talking to well, any Tamworth player about, look, I'm refereeing this game, not you, get
because,
away.
It's because it's easy for the referee to do nothing than it is, because he has to then maybe book three or four players, five players, including maybe a couple of other FC players. So you could have had seven players booked in that incident. He chose not to. The game continues. The two players are on a booking. The two centre-halves are on a booking for the rest of the game. Fagbola deals with it particularly well, I thought, and so did Hughes. And the ball down this right-hand side, yeah, I mean, he's handled it.
That's a 3G bounce. Just didn't.
Yeah, but he knows he's coming across, and he's handballed it, and it's a yellow card. And that, at most, a yellow card. But because he's already been booked, that obviously, you know, I mean, it ruins his day.
He's talking to Hughes for his first... It's midway through the second half. It's his first foul that he's given, because that's how good Hughes was today. And he's got red shirts around him, and he's not going to talk to Hughes. And then suddenly he's like, oh, I should talk to Hughes.
Hold on. From a Tamworth position there, like we are.
Oh yeah,
you're going to do that. Our players would have done that as well.
I'm not blaming Tamworth. I'm blaming the referee for not having any control of that
Number of incidents. I mean, luckily, the game passed him by. For large parts, which was quite good, and you know, it's a result. It's a result that we desperately needed. It's a result that will probably or could really haunt Tamworth now. The results have gone our way as well this afternoon with other games.
To give the viewer one more cup of coffee, we should say on Facebook.
Spennymoor have won beat Alfreton, which helps us 4-1.
Bradford Park Avenue beat Leamington.
Blythe on it again.
Brackley have beaten Curzon. Gainsborough have been beaten by Salford. Nuneaton won. But Telford got beat as well against Chorley. So pretty much that's a good afternoon right there for FC United.
Well, there's not a result apart from the only result is the Nuneaton-Southport game, which is a bit of a surprise, really, because Southport have been on a very good run of form. But apart from that, every other result has gone our way.
We are now in 15th, 6 points away from the drop.
And that is monumental and huge for us. But as I say, look...
I mean, there was another decision as well, which didn't go FC United's way, which was the penalty. And we all thought, oh, we've got a penalty. And offside was given. We can't comment on that because we're not in line with it. Probably was offside, if you're going to make a decision like that.
The line had it up. He had his flag up straight away. So, you can't complain of the penalty. I mean, it was a penalty, but the flag was already up, so there's nothing you can do. Tamworth will maybe be aggrieved in the first half. Was it a penalty? The player, did he go down a little bit too easily? I thought personally that Scott Kay, after the incident here, within 30 seconds, the referee could have booked him here, and after 30 seconds, he's in the penalty area, and it looked like he's pulling him down. But it was only a little bit of contact. It makes a bit too much of it, and it's not a penalty. We'll have the words very shortly to Mr. Greaves, the manager of FC United. And I mean, you can tell how much it meant. I mean, Tom, as you say, six,
Paul, is that
six,
right? Can you have your headset for a moment,
sixth,
Mr. Yeah. Tom,
yeah. Six booking of his career. I will start with that.
Sixth for FC.
So we're going to get him to sit down. We can let him have a seat as well, can't we?
Yeah, don't get your big head in the way, though, if that's all right.
No, you're the one with the big head.
Yeah, that's why I'm leaning back.
You've got a massive head. I've just got a slightly bigger head, but yours is huge.
Tom?
How do?
Hello.
Well, FC's player manager, Tom Greaves, joins us. Tom, the first thing we want to discuss is that's your sixth yellow card in the colours of FC United. Yes. Disgraceful.
It is disgraceful.
Six yellow cards in your career at FC.
I'll be getting banned if I'm not careful.
You will. Are you going to fine yourself?
Yeah.
Good man. That's what I'd like to hear. Listen, we travelled down today. We spoke to the listeners earlier on and said the atmosphere on the bus was one of which you'd normally expect of going home after a victory. And we all commented how it was a really good atmosphere on the bus, and you could feel that, you know, the vibe was maybe a little different from last week and the week before.
Yep.
And that seems to have certainly helped this afternoon. Give us your overall thoughts, and then we'll pick the bones out of it.
Like you said, on the way down, it was a good buzz. It was like we'd already been and won the game and was on our way home. The lads are really gelling together at the minute. They're really fighting for each other. And the way we defended today, I thought was absolutely superb. They've been on top for a lot of that game. I'd like to see the possession and stuff like that, because credit to them, to be fair, they've took it to us, and they were probably the better team overall, but I thought we defended well. And then Linus come up with an absolute worldie. And then that's that little bit of luck that you need. If you don't shoot, you don't score. And then great work from Maka down there for to slide Gerrard in. So,
well, as you say,
the points are the most important thing today.
Well, that's what we thought. You know, we come here, it's been the home of one-all draws pretty much the last five occasions we've been here, and you know, having to work, having to really put a shift in, and also you're on a 3G pitch, which again, It's tiring on the legs, especially at this time of the season. Yep. If you, by the way, if there was smell-o-vision now, you're all should be jealous. He still smells gorgeous. It's deep heat. It's that smell of deep heat. Oh, you just can't be. Just oh, it's lovely. I mean, the first half, as you rightly say, I think we were a little bit. We were a little bit awkward, weren't we, in our play? The way we would be set up was obviously a 4-4-2. We lose Jamal quite early in the second in the first half, but it was a game of two teams struggling for form in the lower half of the table, desperate for points. With one team maybe slightly being on top, as you say, with half chances and FC not really creating anything.
No, we had one chance early doors. But yeah, that was about it. But I was never worried we was going to concede. I thought the lads at the back did really, really well. And like you say, we set up 4-4-2. We was probably getting overrun a little bit in the midfield. So, I mean, obviously don't want to lose Jamal, but he's got a little knock on his groin. So that's forced into changing shape a little bit. Probably weathered it a little bit better than we was doing. Got on the ball a little bit. We spoke about half-time that we've got to go to them now and take the game to them. To be fair, it didn't happen. We were better in the second half, a lot better, but still not necessarily controlling the game.
How does it affect you when the two set of halves are both given yellow cards for the first incident, which perhaps was a yellow card, a slightly late challenge from Fagbola, and then Hughes hitting the ball as the referee's just blown his whistle. You're going to be disappointed, and Hughes is going to be disappointed with that as a yellow card, because as soon as he's hit it, he's got his hands up because he knows it's going to hit the player in the back. It's not intentional.
No.
What did the referee say? I mean, is he booked in for ungentlemanly conduct? Or
yeah, he just said it's intentional. So he's made a couple of strange decisions today. I couldn't quite see the second one. It looked to me like it's bounced up and hit his arm, but I don't know whether there's any movement in his arm. But
there's a little bit of movement in his arm, but we all said in commentary, I mean, Hughesy was absolutely immense this afternoon.
Yeah, he was.
And that victory, I think that victory's for him, because he was absolutely superb. He's all round ability. For the two centre-halves, as they did for the large parts of that game on yellow cards, I mean, the challenge on the far left-hand side, that was his first actual free kick he conceded in the game. The referee was looking to send him off.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, you know.
It's one of them things. We took Scott off because he'd been booked as well. We didn't want to go down to 10 men. It's not been our season, the discipline side of it this year.
No, that's quite true.
So hopefully when the season finishes, we can wipe that slate clean and go again next year. But like I said, the points are the main thing today. I thought the attitude from the lads and the work rate was absolutely brilliant. And you can see the fight for each other at the minute. And it's great to see in the business end of the season.
A brave decision perhaps to bring off Scott Kay. A lot of people will say, well, he's a club captain. He always does certain things in the game. Now, he was on a yellow card. And ordinarily when he's on a yellow card, because he'd calmed down from the earlier parts in the game where we thought really he was back to his old worst ways, and then he seemed to have calmed down, came out second half. But we thought tactically it was a good decision, not because of necessarily the yellow card and maybe you get another one. It's the fact that what he brought to the game then was it gave us a little bit more pace.
Yep.
Taysom came on.
Yep.
It gave Higham the opportunity on this left hand side. They gelled a little bit better.
Yep.
And the pace through the game in that last 15 minutes really seemed to work. So we thought it was a very good decision that you'd made. I mean, in my opening commentary, I thought actually you might have not started today. I thought you might have started slightly differently with a bit more pace in the game.
Yep.
But, again, testament to the fact that the lads have done that. And as you say, second half, we looked at a couple of players. We looked at the work rate of Steve Irwin, which was, although he didn't do a huge amount in the game, it's what he didn't do in the game. Yeah. What he didn't off the ball was absolutely outstanding this afternoon. Yeah. And that kind of, you know, determination and quality is excellent. That's what you want in a player, isn't
it? Yeah, too right. Yeah, that's the first thing I asked for is the work rate, and Steve is a good one to have in there. He's not trained this week. He spent a bit of time at home with the baby. But it's been a good rest for him, to be fair. The same with Linney. He had a good rest with his hamstring. And it was good to see Sam come on. He's done well. He's got a bit of pace about him. He's got something about him, Sam, and he'll be a good player. I think everybody has put a shift in. We probably could have been better on the ball, keeping it a little bit better, moving the ball faster. We've ummed and ahed about formations and personnel this week. It's probably one of the hardest ones we've had. But we went back to a 4-4-2 because of the little run we had of three games before the Leamington game, and we thought we were more balanced in there. But obviously we've had to change it early doors, and it's worked for us today.
But the balance in the second half, certainly with Kieran Glynn. I mean, Glynn came into the game more and more in that second half, and when you get one in front, he's the kind of player that you want on the ball, because he'll just take it and move it, and you know he'll get free kicks for you.
Yep.
And again, it's the kind of game that he you know, it was good to see him back and showing that little bit of quality as well. And, you know, it makes it a headache for you.
Yeah, it does. It was unlucky not to start today. It was a big conversation whether he would play or not. And he probably suits the three more than a flat 4-4-2.
Yeah.
So that made our mind up for us. But he's come on early doors and he's done really well. And like I say, when he's driving with the ball and he just looks after it, he takes the pressure off a little bit. And that's exactly what you want in a player.
Virtually no shots on target for the vast majority of the game from FC.
Yeah.
But the two shots that we have, we score from. But the work rate of Garner, again, you know, put himself about a little bit, trying to, you know, we could see what we were trying to achieve in the game. But when you've not really won, well, you've won one game away from home all season, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just not going to be your day. But there was his performance. I thought, again, he came more and more into the game. He had two big players to defend against, and you did as well, the likes of Luke Jones and Jack Lane, two big centre halves.
Decent lads.
You know, worked hard, and in that respect, you've got to be, again, impressed with the young lad's work rate. Even though, and then he gets that goal, he's there in the right spot. You know, good football again. Great header on the right hand side from Senior. Plays it into Kieran Glynn. Nice bit of work. Plays it out 1-2 between Linfield and McCarthy. And McCarthy just barges through and he bounces up, bounces down. Yeah. And because we thought maybe it was going to be a penalty initially. And then, oh no, it's not. And then, wallop, it goes into the back of the net and makes it 2 and game over. You've got to be relieved there, as a manager and a captain.
Yeah, absolutely. I was well happy with Maka coming on as well, and he's obviously created the goal. He was unlucky not to play today. We went with the 4-4-2 and a little bit more height up front. We had a little bit of feedback on them that they didn't deal with crosses very well, so our game plan was to get the ball wide and put the balls into the box. And it didn't quite work.
Do that next season then.
Yeah, we'll come back here and do that next year, yeah. But he's, again, Maka's giving me a headache. He's a good lad and he sticks at it and he works hard in training. So the lads are pulling together at the minute and it's great to see. And I think another win or two and we'll be all right.
You clearly knew you were coming off, and as all players do when they're 1-0 up and they're playing with 10 men, they go as far away as they can. Andy Burns didn't like that, did he? The number
two,
he was trying to push you the other way.
He came up to me straight away and said, "If you are going off, you get off there." They try to get off me, but that's the game, isn't it?
Yeah,
you've got to have them little cheats in there sometimes.
It certainly is. Today, up to 15th now, all the results, but the only one result that went against was Southport getting beat at home by Nuneaton. But everything else going in FC's favour. Big game now next week. And, you know, what you seem to have is players that are still fit, raring to go. You've got the youngsters, you named one on the bench again today, and you've also brought back Matt Jones.
Yeah, fingers crossed he'll be available for us next week. It's not quite worked out how we wanted it to at Mosley. The agreement was to go out there and get 90 minutes.
And he's not played, has he?
No, he hasn't. It's been unfortunate for him, but we're more than happy to bring him back and get him involved with us.
So it's a fitness issue. He needs to be back, you know, training for two or three more weeks to get back up to max fitness.
He's not been available for us today, but hopefully for next week.
So he wasn't available today, but you brought him back because of the situation. Right, because the new manager's coming as well.
All the other lads have travelled as well, just to get them used to.
Travel, blooming heck, we had to sit at the front of the coach. We thought we were the management. There was me, Ben.
No, it's about bloody time.
Well, actually, we converted Ben into the physio. Me and Loz were the joint managers, and Stato Paul was going to come in at half time, and he was going to read the riot act, give all the stats out, and the heat map and everything like that.
And say yes, boss, a lot.
And then say yes, right, boss. But I mean, that is actually a question, and again, we'll let you go because I know you'd like to get in the dressing room and get yourself showered. But as a player manager, and we've talked about this, and I've spoken to ex-player managers, and in the very first, when you become a player manager, it's probably the hardest thing to do because you're a player. In essence, you are a player. You're not a manager yet, you're a player. And players are always pally with all the pals on the pitch and in the dressing room.
Yep.
And when the manager comes in at half-time, none of you like it. Now, you as a manager now coming in, are you leaving that rollicking, if needs be, to Jack and to Tom, or are you all three collectively getting in there? Because
do you know what, everybody,
because you're talking to your peers, aren't you? You're talking to your peers there.
Yeah, everybody chips in, not just me, Tom, Jack, the likes of Hughesy, Scott Kerr, Linney. There's a lot of experienced lads in there, so we don't go in and throw water bottles around and kick things. We have a chat about it and we try to do it that way. And the lads, since we took over day one, have been superb for us.
So it's quite calm in the dressing room at half time most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time, yeah.
Fantastic.
Obviously, people will give each other a good telling off, but we try talk it through, point out the problems, and try to put it right in the second half.
Well, thanks as always. The next game is Darlington at home,
yep.
Followed by the Tuesday night York City away, yep. At home again, and then we travel to a team, Alfreton, who again we'll be looking to have secured hopefully our place in this division before the last game of the season. We can enjoy the team against North Ferriby United. As always, my friend, much appreciated. Really enjoyed your
first away league win.
Yes.
Under Tom Greaves, he can go back on. Yes. He was after that on Friday. He was saying, I want to go back on a team bus with an away win in the league.
Yeah, very good point.
Not experienced
well made,
it
yeah.
so
yeah.
far, so we'll have an entertaining trip home, won't we?
Saying that he was Bobbins, though, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, look, it went.
No,
it went,
we're still on the radio. We're still on the radio.
I'm sure, to be honest, today you would have brought yourself off at a certain state earlier. Yeah, if you had players on, if you had the players that you knew you could bring on, you probably would have done that.
Yeah,
today.
I would, to be fair. I've had a little knock on my heel and it started hurting.
Well, that was the excuse. You used excuses already.
no excuses. No, they're
do,
not.
Do you want to borrow? Actually, because it was a 3G pitch, so we haven't got another 3G. But I had Rory Patterson's boots for you today and I've left
them.
I thought they would have been you could have called his 100th goal in his boots.
In his boots.
Yeah, but yeah. It wasn't to be. We've got the result. Fantastic as always.
Yep.
Get yourself over there, get yourself changed. What time do you need us on the bus for? Because we don't want to be late.
What are we on now?
It's 20 past already, 20 past five.
Quarter to six then.
Right.
On and off.
You're not good. On and off.
Watch.
Go on, off. Go on then.
Go.
We've got it right. Timing him now. If he doesn't make it, we go without him. That's what we do. We go without him. Oh, and he's got an interview there now. I'm never going to get into the changing rooms. But listen, a radio crew to have him come over all the time. I mean, I would have loved Hughes to come over and talk to him. Might have a chat to him on the team bus, Ben.
I think so. Because
he was magnificent.
He really has performed a blinder today, Matt Hughes. And we should have say... In recent performances, we've been, you know, saying about both Hughes and Fagbola that, you know, even though we've not necessarily played well, they've still been rock solid. And you know, they had a good game at Leamington.
Yeah,
today they've had a good game.
They work hard. They work hard. They work well together. I think the Fagbola's just going to improve his heading. But that can be coached a little bit more. I think they're two honest, decent players that work hard. You know, and we've both been critical. I've been critical. You've been critical. Paul's been. I mean, people have been critical in general when it's deserved. But when they put performances in like that, and Hughesy especially today, you've got to give him massive credit. I mean, I've given Hughesy probably three or four man of the matches in the last 3 months because I think he's been excellent. Because what he's decided to do is make the right decision going for a ball. He was quite hesitant. He wasn't sure whether to go for it or stand back. And then he'd lost the ball. He's now making those right decisions. He's clearing the ball when he needs to. He's bringing the ball out when he needs to. And he's not. There's no rash challenges. He's made one challenge today. That's it. And it was a free kick. But you can go through a whole game as a centre-half and actually have only committed one foul.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty decent. And
I think as a team as well today, we didn't give away a string of free kicks like we have done in other games away from home. We gave away some free kicks, but not a repetition of them that lets the other team dominate the way that we've allowed other teams to dominate.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's one of those games, isn't it, where you've it was a poor game, wasn't it? But the second half, I mean, it's whether or not because we're getting nervous as well. But it flew by, and it was quite end to end. There wasn't a great deal for either keeper to do at all, really. I mean,
I think there was two misleading things about today. One was the fact that Tamworth had a lot of pressure. And at one stage, they'd had 13 shots, but nothing on target.
No.
And if you think about what Allinson had to do today, apart from pull a lot of crosses out of the sky, he wasn't tested a lot.
No.
A couple of saves, maybe, at the best.
And the ball was going wide, wasn't it? He was just going to scurry across.
And the other thing, Tom Greaves was asking about possession. The possession stats.
14 minutes, Tom, come on.
chop.
It's half past now.
The possession stats Tom was asking about, they were fairly level, believe it or not. Because we did, in the second half, we had a lot of the ball.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because last week, everyone thought that we had huge amount of... But we had quite a lot of possession last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
In that second half. But it didn't feel like that. Today, it felt quite even. They put the ball forward quite a lot. So when you're a centre-forward, you see the ball down there all the time, you probably think, oh, goodness gracious, they've had a huge amount of the ball. I mean, they were poor in front of goal. They have some good players, but they are where they are, and there's a reason they are where they are. And if you can't win
two away.
If you can't win on this pitch.
Two home wins in 14.
If you can't win at
3G,
home, yeah, if you can't win at home on the 3G,
tells you something.
It does indeed. It, what it shows you is that they don't like playing on 3G. They prefer playing on grass away.
Well, I think it tells you that they've got themselves into a downward spiral.
Yeah,
and they're, you know, it's the threat of relegation has got to them. They sacked the manager in February.
That's right. Yes, yeah.
They put the assistant in charge, and it's not improved.
Well, it's not, Mike Fowler, I mean, he'll will be absolutely mortified today. Because, I mean, I didn't think they looked like they were going to go win the game. And I thought we would end up playing out a 0-0 draw and we would have been the happier of the two teams. And then to see that goal and Jack Stevens, you know, the keeper's just gone,
it's just calamitous.
And the manager, as I say, you know, Mike Fowler's going to be absolutely desperate. I mean, they're now, 18th position, 42 points.
Isn't that beautiful, though, to look
at? We've gone above Leamington.
Where you look at the league table on football web pages and everyone around us has red results, which basically means they got beat.
Yeah, I mean...
And it looks beautiful, doesn't it? And there's one solitary green island in that, and that's FC United.
So we've made... We've taken advantage today.
Big time.
Look, we're on level. But the great thing is now, our next game, we win that, let's say, it takes us to 50 points.
That's probably
and
it.
13th position. Yeah. Or maybe even 11th.
50 is probably going to be
50. I said between 48 and 50 points, yeah, was the...
Well, if you look at Telford have got, what, how many games left? 6 games left. They'd have to get 9 points to get to 50. That could be difficult for them. That means they're going to have to win half of their remaining games.
This is what we've been saying all along. I mean, you know, a lot of people have been going games in hand. Oh, look at all these teams who've got games in hand. They're down the bottom for a reason. That's because they don't get enough points per game. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many games in hand they've got. If they're likely to get 0 in those games in hand, it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, for them now to win 3 out of 6, that goes against the grain for all of the previous matches this season. I don't see 50 points as being a problem.
You actually said 48.
I said 48. I thought 48 would probably do it this season.
I think another win for us will...
I think you're right. I mean, Blyth are on a downward. I think they've lost 5 on the bounce now. So
I don't think it's any coincidence that's come as a couple of clubs in the northeast have come hovering around Alan Armstrong.
Well, maybe Dale Hobson.
Spennymoor now.
I mean, the team at the moment, Spennymoor up to 6, which is again a great for them because they've still got games in hand over other teams as well. But Stockport County. You know, 61 points now. I mean,
strong finish.
Jim Gannon has done a tremendous job there. A really strong finish for them. For me, they're cemented into the playoffs now. Kidderminster to Brackley have had a fantastic season for Brackley. They really have done superbly well. A small tight budget, a small tight squad. Wembley beckons. Playoffs equally. They could still, I don't think so, but they could still try the two games over the two teams above them.
And the title race is far from over.
Well, oh,
Harrogate have got a better goal difference.
Yeah.
Harrogate's goal difference is massive. Yes.
So that is going to go to the wire, probably.
It certainly is.
And just to say, the midweek games, because that's the show in town now. It's back to looking at other clubs playing when we're not.
With a bit more comfort now.
Yeah, well, Leamington are hosting Charlotte, Nuneaton are hosting York City, and Boston are hosting Spennymoor. So nothing really to get excited about there.
Well,
on Wednesday...
Curzon versus Gainsborough. Will be desperate to try and get and steal that spot from York City at this moment in time. Curzon. That's what they'll be looking to do. They're currently 8th. They want to get into the playoffs.
The point is, though, that Curzon playing Gainsborough and Telford playing Leamington on Thursday night, there's drop points to be had there.
Of course. Yeah.
Curzon will be getting below us already.
Curzon will be getting desperate now.
Before we even get to Darlington.
And we're getting a bit desperate now because it's time to leave, because we can notice that everybody bar the manager of the football club is making their way to the coach. So we better say goodbye. It's been... a very interesting afternoon of football. It was a party bus going. God only knows what it's going to be like going back.
Considering it's the first time since August, I think we've earned it.
And I think the players have earned it. It's a result out of nothing, really. I think 0-0, it had all over this game, certainly the second half, and a mistake by Jack Stevens after a rasping shot, it has to be said, from Linney. He made that mistake, and from that moment on, the 10 men of FC United of Manchester went on and scored and secured their second goal, a goal from Garner after some good work down the right-hand side by Linfield again, and then charging through was McCarthy and finished off by Garner. But 3 points here, a hard-fought game, and FC United can now move on to home game against Darlington, which will be live and exclusive as always here on FC United Radio, and we'll speak to you again very, very soon. Thank you very much to my co-commentator this evening, this afternoon and this morning, Paul Statto, and well, thanks Ben for eating your own packet of crisps in your own time without any help from anybody.
Take care everyone, we'll see you on Saturday. Bye bye.
Love to you all.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. Next up for FC United will be the visit of Darlington this coming Saturday. Admission at Broadhurst Park will be pay on the gate, £10 adults, £6 concessions and under 18s, £3. But as always, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on www.fcumradio.co.uk on Saturday from 2:30pm on your very own FCUM Radio. Women's team news now, and Luke Podmore's table toppers travelled south on Sunday afternoon to take on Crewe Alexandra. And despite going a goal down early in the game, I can happily report that FC United were triumphant with an emphatic 9-2 victory, with five goals coming from Jess Battle and a hat-trick from new signing Alice Forshaw. Here is Alice and manager Luke Podmore speaking to Neil Boo after the game.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and striker today, anyway, Alice Forshaw with a debut hat-trick. That was, well, not debut game, but a first ever hat-trick for FC United. Did that feel nice, getting that, helping us getting the comeback from being a goal down?
Definitely. I've been looking to try and make an impact. I didn't feel like I did last week, so it was good. It's good to score, and definitely score three this week, yeah.
Yeah, there were good goals as well, and some other good goals in there, but how did you feel when we went 1-0 down, Nolan?
Yeah, well, obviously I always believe in the team, and you know, obviously we're a very capable side, and we've been down before, Cameron Laird, we've been behind and shown a lot of character, so there wasn't any panic at any point. It's just that we need to keep doing what we do and be patient and keep believing in the way that we want to do things. And like I say, to win the second half 8-1, being 1-1 all at half time was just an unbelievable response from the team. So yeah, can't really ask more than that.
Yeah, I suppose it's exactly a panic situation given the fact that they probably just had that first team visit to the penalty area, never mind first shot and it goes in.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to be happening at first until the Jess Battle turned up the burners.
Yeah, they were tough to break down in the first half. They sat in well, and they I suppose they probably looked at us in our league position and probably had a game plan off that. So, you know, obviously second half maybe they thought they could come out and win it, and maybe that's what unfolded. And obviously our girls, they all stepped it up a little bit as well, and had a little bit of a chat at half time what things we could change. And you know, fair play to them, like they've all come out there and absolutely smashed it. So really, really proud.
Yeah, they'll say they need to keep some energy though, because it's four games this week potentially in 8 days. Have you played that many before, Alice? Or is that will this be a new one if you play all four?
Well, I won't be playing all four.
Oh, right.
I'm playing on a Wednesday, but I'm not eligible to play on a Friday, and then I'm away on a Sunday. Right. So I'll do what I can on a Wednesday, yeah. Hopefully.
Wednesday's a big one, to be fair, isn't it? So, you know, yeah. If we alternate them away, obviously we've got memories of our home game, 1-1 against them, obviously. We've had the FA Cup game, but, you know, we need to go to on Wednesday and win there. And you know, if we win there, we'll go into Sunday, you know, really, really picking up some form and just at the right time.
Yeah, and Westfields are losing at the moment, as far as we know, still. So that means that we've stretched our lead to 7 points today. That's closing up on the title a bit.
Yeah, there's obviously time to go yet in that game, and obviously Westfields will be quite resilient. And but yeah, listen, we just focus on ourselves at the end of the day. If we win all our games, and which is always the aim, we're going to win top of the league. So that's all we're focusing on each game as it comes now.
Absolutely. Congratulations to everybody, and get yourself down to the game on Wednesday, and we'll all cheer on, hopefully, some more goals.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Cheers, Neil.
Luke Podmore and Alice Forshaw there following FC United's 9-2 victory over Crewe Alex on Sunday afternoon. And on that happy note, that is the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, a officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.